is that part three? What we started talking about, the title was rank, race, and place in the kingdom. And if you got your Bible this morning, I want to start in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm thinking I want to read 1 through 16, but we'll see. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, we know there's several baptisms, right? We know there's baptism in water, there's baptism in the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the baptism into Christ. He says, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given what?
Grace.
According to the measure of the gift of Christ. He says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he, talking about the Lord, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I have heard this saying numerous times. Y'all ever heard this? Church is supposed to be a hospital for the hurting or the lost. Some of y'all looking at me like you ain't never heard it. Is that what this scripture says?
No.
Then that ain't what it's supposed to be, right?
Right.
It is a place for the lost. Jesus said, go make disciples. He didn't say, go make converts. A disciple comes from the root word discipline. So we're not just supposed to be getting people born again. He says he gave all these gifts here, the fivefold ministry gifts here. Verse 12, he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now listen to it in the Amplified. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. All of a sudden, you know, we are reading, if you've been doing it, it's in the book of Revelation, and then Monty, you know, he's been teaching there. And the other day I was reading, all of a sudden, it's like that word church stuck out to me, you know, because there's this doctrine, you know, I, by myself, I'm the church, which is totally against Scripture. When you look that word up, every place that it says church, it means a called out assembly. You can't be a church by yourself. But did y'all notice when we've been doing our scripture reading in the book of Revelation, it says, and to the church of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He didn't say to Paul. He didn't say to Peter. He didn't say to Shannon. Well, that word church there, every time says an assembly. So there's no way that that's possible. Listen, a lot of people have a lot of wrong doctrine, and if you've got wrong doctrine, it'll cause you to believe wrong, and it'll cause you to do wrong. But let's go on. I can't get off on all that. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all, that means every person, come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, that word perfect don't mean flawless, it means more like mature, spiritually mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now listen, Amplified. It says that it might develop, talking about the body, until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. They ain't none of us arrived there yet, but we're all supposed to be going there. He says, verse 14, he says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, I can only talk about this church because this is the only one that I know. Let me tell you a little story of actually something that happened. Now, we all know the story about David, right? He was a teenager whenever he got anointed to be king. You know, some people vary on exactly what age is exactly. It doesn't, exact age really don't matter to me. But we know for the scriptures that he was anointed to become king, and nobody in his family would have picked him. You know, they left him out there, not saying nothing bad about him, you know, but I wouldn't have picked me for what I do. I wouldn't have picked Scotty for what he does, you know. But anyway, we know the story of how Samuel anointed David to be king over Israel. But he did not become king until years down the road and mess. Y'all not saying nothing. Leaders are not born, they're made. They're built.
Right.
Now, if you may be born when the day, listen, before you ever even get here in your earth suit, God has a plan for your life. I'm not saying that you may not be, the plan of God may not be for you to be a leader or to be in fivefold ministry or something like that from the before you're even born. Yes, but how many knows? I heard Kenneth Hagin say this one time after he got baptized in the Holy Ghost and had took over a church and stuff. He said God spoke to him and told him, said, you're fixing to enter into the first stage of your ministry. He'd been in the ministry, Sandy, for years. He said, well, my God, what have I been doing all this time? And he said, the Lord spoke to him and told him, he said, I have people, he said, they live their full life and they die and they never even enter into the first stage. Sad. You've got people that's trying to be fivefold ministers that's supposed to be shoe salesmen.
Right.
You got people that are being shoe salesmen that's supposed to be pastors. Y'all not saying that. Listen, I've been in this a long time. And if you want to see some stuff, just become a pastor's wife. Y'all see stuff just going here? We try to protect y'all from a lot of it that goes on here. So anyway, leaders are not born, they're built or made. Now, we haven't been saved too long. We have been saved 8 months, which that's when he got his license. But he didn't get his license till he started a little while after that. But anyway, we have been saved months. I can't remember exactly how many, not even a year yet. And Scotty started getting well on our way to church one day. And he tells me, he says, if I don't get this out of my heart, I'm going to be a preacher. Now, I have very, very little religious background. Scotty had a little bit. Most of it wasn't right. And he says, if I don't get this out of my heart, I'm going to be a preacher. Now, we don't know what a preacher is other than somebody like, kind of like what I'm doing right now. You know, we're veins bulging, you know. They think what I'm doing don't preach. But anyway, if you look the word preacher up, it says one that heralds a message. You know, don't even have to be fivefold ministry for that. And I told him, because I know him and I know me, and I said, probably everybody thinks that. I don't have it. I did not have it at the time. I had no desire to preach whatsoever. I had no desire to talk to anybody. I had no desire to do anything. You know, and Scotty would pop up like popcorn and testify, and I'm like, would you sit down and shut up? You're drawing attention over here, and I don't want no attention. But anyway, I can't get off on all that. So he goes to his pastor. Somebody say, go to your pastor. He went to his pastor, and he told him, he said, Brother Brad, he said, I've got this in my heart. Oh, no, before that, I forgot about Brother Smart. Let me back up a little bit. Before that, he says that on the way to church, we get to church and we've got a visiting minister that day. His name was Brother Smart. Sandy, you remember him? Kind of heavy set, red-haired guy. Just really, really sweet. I think he was a missionary or something, wasn't he?
I think he was a missionary.
Anyway, to make a long story short, he's preaching and all of a sudden he just walks over to Scotty like I would walk to Blake and looks at him. He said, the Lord said to tell you that that's in your heart is from him. And I'm like, are you serious? Preacher. The last thing I would ever wanted to marry would have been a preacher. But anyway, so God confirmed. Listen, when God confirms something, you already got a little bit of something in your heart about something. Most of the time when God speaks through somebody to you. And if you don't, just put it up on a shelf because it might not be the time.
Right.
And I'm gonna get to that now. So then after that, he goes to Brother Brad, his pastor, and he tells him, he says, you know, I don't really know what it means, you know, but I have this desire. I feel like I'm called to preach, you know, and everything. Brother Brad's a very smart, wise man. He says, okay, Brother Scotty, guess where he takes him? To the pulpit? Yeah. One of your best places to go if you're called. If you're called by God, you'll love that place. There's lost people all over the place. There's devils all over the place. And so for Scotty that was truly called, it just fired him up. So Brother Brad took him to the jail the first time, you know, showed him how to do, you know, you go check in and all this other stuff and everything. And you're supposed to have license, but Scotty didn't have none. But God gave him grace and he still went. He saved 8 months when he finally gets his license to preach. They never even checked for his license at the jail until after he got his license. They checked everybody else, but they never checked his.
Amen.
So he goes on and he does that, you know, for a while and everything. And then we're in service one night, and we have another visitor minister. We had him often. And his name was Roy Ralph. Sandy, do you remember him? Strange acting guy. I mean, he's just weird acting to me, but maybe I'm weird to everybody else. Anyway, he's up there and he's preaching, and all of a sudden he does the same thing. He comes over there. Now, this has been a couple years down the road. He comes over and he tells Scotty, he says, brother, and first time we had ever met him, so I know he don't know us or anything about us. And he looks at Scotty and he says, brother, he said, I've never seen it this way before. And we didn't know what he was talking about. He said, but I see a lifeline coming from you that holds up the church. He said, and I see you, he said, and you are a stake. He said, and you're being beat down and beat down and beat down and beat down. And Scotty's like, I don't understand none of that, but the beating down part, I can say amen. Now, at this time, he's working for a company called J&H. I think it's, is the Yamaha place even still there, or they closed down?
Closed down.
Anyway, it was there where the Yamaha place used to be, there in Oneonta. And he got saved and he's working there. And nobody else there, far as our knowledge, was a Christian or practicing one, except one lady that worked, I think, in the office. So he was being called Bible thumper. I mean, I think he got spit on one time. I mean, all kinds of trouble at his job. And then he's got me that I'm barely saved at home. I would still cuss him out. I would still fight. All that stuff. The only difference was I didn't want to. And when I did, I felt bad. And I would repent. The other part, I used to like it. I used to try to make up cuss words, you know, just cuss somebody out. But anyway, to get back to my story, and see, when you hear that, you might think that can't be so because the church hinges on Jesus, right? Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, some thought he was talking about Peter, but we know the church don't hinge on Peter, but it was on the revelation that Peter had of Jesus being the Christ. Well, we go on down the road. Now, remember what I said. Scotty was a stake being beat down, and he said that there's a lifeline that comes from Scotty that holds up the church. We had not a clue what that meant other than the beating down. He's being taunted. He's being cussed out. All kinds of stuff is happening to him, and he's not retaliating. On his lunch break, he's got a little pocket New Testament. On his lunch break, he sits alone, makes his lunch, and reads his Bible. And then he goes back to work. Then he comes home, and he deals with me. This goes on for years. We don't have a clue what he's talking about at that time. So we just take it, put it on a shelf. We knew the beatdown part was right, but we really didn't know what all that meant. And he told him, he said, I've never seen it this way before. But he didn't go on to explain everything, just left us with that. So anyway, we put it on a shelf. Years go by. We stay at our church for 8 years. Goes by. And God told him to start a Bible study down here. Now, when he started, I would not believe the way this building lived. I mean, ain't nobody seen it the way Scotty and Preston did when they first got it. That front wall was not even there. I mean, just nothing back here. All kinds of stuff. Anyway, he had built an office in there, and the Lord had spoke to him to start having a little Bible study. So he told his pastor. Somebody say, tell your pastor. See, if there's nothing wrong, if you don't feel there's anything wrong or have anything to hide, why would you not want the blessing of those that's supposed to be over you? See, you have things you don't think is quite right.
That's right.
Anyway, I can't get off on all that. So anyway, time goes by, God speaks to him, you know, start a Bible study. So in his little office down there, I think at the time, what was it, from the door there back to Sandy's wall that cuts off right there?
Yeah, about the food room.
Yeah, there was no bathroom here. If you had to use it, we told him.
Yeah.
Sandy's laughing. Why? We ain't got no water meter, and we ain't got no money. We got nothing other than God said. So that's what we do, start having a little Bible study. It was Sandy and two little ladies over here out of the project houses that came. And I think, what was it, a couple times maybe you brought your daughter-in-law with you, that one or whatever. That was it when it first started. Now, a little bit later on, a few more, you know, came or whatever to the Bible study. Well, then a little time goes by after that, you know, neither one of us ever thinking going to start a church, pastor, you know, nothing like that. And God speaks to him and says, I want you to start a church. He gets to this, he says, okay, God. He leaves here, he goes to the stop sign. He says, all right, God, which direction? God said, use what you got. Talking about this building. That's embarrassing. Did y'all hear what I said? That's embarrassing. And he tells God, God, who's going to come over there? You know, I mean, look at the place. Anyway, to make a long story short, he goes to his pastor. And he tells his pastor, he said, Brother Brad, he said, I believe the Lord has spoke to me. He said that I'm supposed to start a church down there in Bluntsville in that building where I have my grocery store business. Well, right before this, him and his brother split because God said to him, and he used the scriptures about Abraham splitting from Lot. Not because there was any problem with him or whatever. That's just what he said to do. Well, Brother Brad says, Brother Scotty, I believe it. I have seen the fruit in your life. Now, one of the things that God will bless more than almost anything other than obedience is faithfulness.
Right.
The Bible says in Proverbs, to put your trust in an unfaithful man is like trying to walk on a broken foot or eat with a broken tooth. Y'all ever tried either one of those?
Yeah.
Very painful. That's what you do to the body when you're unfaithful. Woo, let me say that again because it just went like this. That's what happens to the body if I'm unfaithful. If you're unfaithful, if we're unfaithful to do our job, or we're unfaithful to serve the Lord and do the things that He says to do. God bless His faithfulness. Y'all remember the story that we read last week, the parable of the talents?
Yeah.
He gave one, what, 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1, best that I can remember. Well, the one in the story, the one that got the 5, he went and did something with it. It wasn't his money, the Lord gave it to him. And then went off and he come back and he wants an account of what he's given. Same thing it's going to be when he comes. So he gives the 1 5 and he goes and he works with it and everything and he makes 5 more. So now he's got 10. The one that's got 2, he does stuff with his and he increases his. The one that only had 1, he said, I know that you're a hard man. That's a lie. God's not a hard. Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
God's not hard. God's very merciful. God's very graceful. But now if you are in rebellion, He will part your hair and crease your breeches for you.
Yeah.
And can't nobody help you out of it.
Right.
But the one that only had the 1 talent, he says, I know you was a hard man. He said, so I took it and I hid it. So here is your 1. Now the other ones, he told them, he said, enter into the joy of the Lord. Thy good and faithful servant. The one that only had the 2 that gained more. He said, enter into the joy of the Lord, thy good, yo, come on now, and faithful servant. The one that had the 1, what did he say? Anybody remember? He said, cast him into outer darkness. You slothful, lazy, wicked servant. See, in the body, I'm not just talking about here. We need to hear this, but we're on Facebook, we're on India, all over the place. So when I say things, I'm not just talking to y'all or to me.
Come on.
But he says that one that wouldn't do anything with what he had, he said, you're wicked, you're lazy, and all that. He said, cast him into outer darkness. He says, and take what that one's got and give it to the one that's got 10. And they even told him, they said, Lord, but he's already got 10. Well, you know what? If you are a good steward and you are faithful over whatever God puts you in, he told each one of them, he said, I'll make you ruler over much.
Right.
Another place he told them, those that was faithful, he told them, he said, I'll make you a ruler over 10 cities.
Yeah.
Where do you think those cities going to be? They're not going to be here on the earth.
Right.
You realize there's going to be cities there? You realize there's going to be jobs there? We're not going to be floating on clouds. Just living in your mansion, fishing in your pond in the backyard? No! This life is supposed to be preparing us for that life.
Amen.
And those that are faithful here, he's going to make them rulers over there.
Amen.
Just like if you're faithful, whatever God's told you to do, if he's just told you right now, go to church and be faithful going to church, that's all he's requiring of you right now. Whatever he tells you to do, do it with all your heart and be faithful at it. And the faithful God promotes. He says those that are not good stewards over finances and different things like that, he said, how can he give unto you true riches if you can't even handle this? See, there's this thing that a lot of people like to talk about, you know, that are, actually I think they're a little greedy, is the great wealth transfer in the Bible that it talks about that is coming in the last days to the body of Christ. I can tell you it ain't coming to every Christian. You know who it's coming to? Those that have been faithful to do with finances whatever he's told you to do with finances. And those that have been unfaithful to do with finances, the things that he said, it ain't coming to you. Why? It's not just to pay off your house. Not just so you could get a bigger car. Not just so you could pay off mom and them's house and do good things with it. No, do you understand that the last day harvest, there's going to have to be more buildings built, more land bought, more things that took out from the world? Because the church, the body's going to need it.
Yes, come on.
But at the same time, we'll be blessed in the process. Ooh, this is going over real well. A lot of amens. Let me, let's amen myself. This is my message. Good to me. But notice what he says there. Now listen, there are apostles that they're called to certain places. Now, usually your apostle, they deal with doctrine and creating ministry. Just like God sent Scotty down here. Listen, when you pioneer something, it's way harder than when you take something over that's already been pioneered.
Yeah.
You know. And some people, they come here and they're like, what's the matter with that church over there, you know? Or they come here for a while and they'll leave. It's too hard over there. Are you serious? Did you read the Bible? But listen, the thing about it is, if you don't want to do the Word and you want to just be stay a baby all your life and everybody do for you and shove back your mustache or peel off your lipstick to put the bottle in your mouth, this is not the right place.
Amen.
And I don't think God's trying to be hard. The other night, I barely made it to sit down in the chair. And it was tongues almost, they come up in here and I can barely get in the chair. And they just come out. I mean, almost like you're having a violent... what do you call it? Throwing up or whatever, you know. The best I can explain it. And it's not my usual sounding tongues. It's some other sounding. And while I'm doing this, I don't hear the words, but it's like I have a sense on the inside. Do you understand? You got spiritual senses, just like you got physical senses. On the inside, it's like I had a spiritual sense of this church, of God saying that we are about to ascend to heights we have never known.
Amen.
Before all y'all clap and rejoice, which I'm sure y'all will sooner or later.
Bless you, Lord.
That's a wonderful thing God just said.
Amen.
Got to pass some tests. Do you realize this church has been in a test and a trial for a while?
Yes.
Amen. Listen, we go through things as individuals in our lives. But then there's also things as a whole body, a whole church, that you'll go through things that the enemy will attack or people will come against or whatever that may be at the time. Every church is not the same. Don't compare this church to another church. Why? I don't know what they're called to do, and neither do you unless God just points it out to you.
That's right.
Everybody ain't supposed to do and be what we are over here. And we're not supposed to be and do what everybody else is out there. We had a pastor one time, first vacation we had ever took. And we talked, we prayed and asked the Lord about it, you know, and talked to some of the leaders that was here and everything, you know, that it was okay to call off the Sunday night service so we could leave Sunday night because Scotty, he didn't have anybody to run the business at the time. He had to do it. So we couldn't stay gone for very long. Well, lo and behold, we do that. A pastor of another church, I don't even know if they're still there now, of another church comes over here to our service. Number one, you're a pastor. I don't know what you're doing over here. Anyway, none of my business. Nobody's here. We're not having service. Well, he catches Scotty out somewhere, and he tells him, brother, I come to church over there. You know, you should never close down the church. What? Why am I bringing that up? Number one, you're not our Lord over here. Number two, you're a pastor of another church. We ain't your business.
Y'all are too quiet.
You better get your nose back over there on your own pastorship. Take care of your own house over there. Scotty better take care of his over here. The Bible says he's supposed to know the state of his flocks. Right? Keep his nose on this page over here. Why am I saying that? Because there are apostles that they're not called just to one church, some of them. There are prophets that are not called to just necessarily one church. There's prophets that may be called to the nations. You understand what I'm telling you? There's not pastors called to the nations. There's not teachers called to the nations. But there are apostles, and we used to have one here, and as far as I know, God's not raised up another one. He went on to be with the Lord. Now, in the body, we have all different stuff. We are as varied as your physical body is. Let's look at, I think it's 1 Corinthians 12 I want to look at right quick. Now, I told you the story about how we got here. There came a time, God gave the prophecy, and there came a time that it was to come. I can't tell you how many people tried to get Scotty to become a pastor before the time. There was one lady, she offered him a church up there at, it's close to 91 up there. It was a new building. She wanted him to come up there and become the co-pastor. Do you understand how hard that is when you know something's there, but you don't know if this is the right one? And Scotty's, he's not like me. Gosh, y'all don't know that already. Scotty has always been one, you better put the reins on him, because he's gone. I've always been one, you better get the whip out, because I ain't moving. And ain't that just like God to put them two kind of people together? Kind of balance each other out a little bit. Well, she wants him to come up there and be the co-pastor, you know, and all this and everything. Guess what he does? Y'all don't know the answer. He prays and he fasts and he seeks the Lord and he gets his answer. And the answer was
no.
Oh, excuse me.
$40,000 a year.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Pastor. My stuff's right up here since I'm telling the story. But anyway, this is what happened. Then, later on, God put him down there on the streets of Aniana because somebody else wouldn't go. The guy even come and told him, God told me to do this months ago. He said, well, brother, repent. He told me, you know, you would. He's going to get his thing done. But he has a plan, but if you won't come along with his plan, he'll use somebody else, and they will get your rewards when they get there. Because God's not going to go lacking. Anyway, he sends him down there on the street, you know, and he does all of that, you know. And God really don't use him and some of the gifts here as much as what he used to in some of the other stuff. Sometimes that could be because God won't allow people to depend on people.
Yep.
Oh. And to certain callings has certain things or whatever. Anyway, he was evangelizing and all that stuff. Well, out there on the street, there was people come to him. I mean, quite a few people wanted him to start a church. We'll come to church there, you know. We'll find the building and all this stuff, you know. If you'll just come, be our pastor. You know what he does?
Prays and fasts.
And gets his answer. You know what the answer was?
No.
See, there's going to be things that come to every one of us. I had no idea that I was set in the body to be a teacher until I got here. Sometimes your place activates the grace. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I wouldn't talk. I wouldn't say nothing. Now, I kept the nursery at our church, but I mean, I was terrified. They come and ask me to keep the nursery. I said, I'll pray about it. And that's all I said, and I walked off. You know, kids are not my strong suit to begin with, you know. Anyway, I didn't get no answer. And I thought, I'll just do it, you know. I'll do it. So anyway, that's where I started, keeping the nursery. Well, I was faithful. Say that word, faithful, keeping the nursery. Quite a few years. So then they come. Some people had left, you know, ministry and different things like that. And then they come, they needed a teacher. For around, I'm thinking it was around second, third grade age, around in there when I first started or whatever. And I said, okay, you know, because they need it. The Lord will help me, you know, and all of that stuff and everything. And I even told them, I said, listen, I got problems. You know, I don't know that I qualify for this or whatever. And they said, Sister Teresa, we know your heart. We know you're not perfect. We know you might have problems. We've done, talked to the board. We've done prayed about this, you know. We know you're not perfect, and we're asking you to do it. I said, okay.
Amen.
More kids. It's usually ain't what you like, what you want to do. I never wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a prophet. I'm just going to be honest. I wanted to be a prophet, but I want to mean all everybody with my revelations and the things I can see that everybody else don't see. That's why I ain't one. Oh, wait. Where am I at? Oh, yeah. So I become a teacher to, I don't know, second, third grade age, fourth, maybe somewhere around in there. And then I did that for years. And I still don't talk to nobody. I don't testify. I don't say nothing too much. I mean, I look down when I'm going out the door shaking Brother Brad's hand. I mean, that's how I was. Well, then lo and behold, God tells him to start this church down here. I tell him, I'm not going. Number one, I'm scared to. Not enough of that nowadays. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
The Bible says, and a multitude of counselors, there's safety. And he ain't talking about all of your co-workers or those that are on the same level with you. He's talking about those that are above you. See, you're never supposed to talk to your problems about to people that are below you.
Right.
Why? They can't help you, number one. And most of the time, if you do that, you're putting more burdens on them. They got their own stuff they're trying to deal with. So you always tell your stuff up to those that are above you. Why? Because that's where you can get help from. The Bible says that whenever it's like Aaron, you know, talking about the body and everything and the brethren dwelling together in unity, he said it's like the anointing oil that run down the beard of Aaron. It started on the head, then it went to the beard, then the shoulders, then the body. It didn't start at the feet. It started at the head. So anyway, what did I tell y'all to do? These notes are just, I'm not even using none of them. What'd you say? Oh, yeah. Let's just do that in the last few minutes I got here. I told Zach we might not get past Ephesians 4, so we're doing a little better than I thought. See, we have too much of this me in the body. I was praying one time, and I don't even remember what I was praying. And all of a sudden, I had a vision, open vision, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I don't care what you call it. But I see, and we're still going to Faith Restoration at the time, and I see, y'all remember them little paper ball cutouts you could do at school, and you do them like this, and they're all connected together? You know, they didn't have any faces or anything on them. That's what I saw. I saw one, like, right in there, and it was huge. Went all the way from the ceiling to the floor. And then I saw from this side of the room, I couldn't see the back or nothing, I saw from this side of the room like those paper cutouts and they was all connected together and they was walking and then they'd go into his side. Another one, they're walking into his side, walking into his side. And I thought, what is this? I remember Jesus was pierced where?
Right.
It had to be on the right side because it went up and through his heart.
Yep.
That was exactly what I saw. That was the body of Christ going into Christ himself. There is no individualism that can stay in the body.
Right.
Just like in the wilderness. If you, a wilder beast by yourself, you go out there, the lions is looking for you. Well, not the lions because they're pretty lazy, but the lionesses, the hunters, they're watching you. What do? They lay there in the tall grass and they watch. They watch for the ones that will not stay with the herd or stay with the pack, whatever you want to call it. They watch for those. Why? Because you're more vulnerable to the lionesses out here by yourself than you ever will be when you're in here in the middle of this herd.
Right, come on.
And that's exactly why the devil, why the Bible uses the analogy referring to the devil as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Hello, let's get a clue. Watch wildlife. Seriously. You can watch wildlife. Do you understand everything that God has given us tells a story? And it's all linked together. But you got these people out here in the body of Christ, they won't stay at one church for very long at all. Just won't do it. They'll even come into a new church. Ah, the Lord sent me here. I'm so glad. Listen, marriage is exciting until you've been married 30 years.
Yeah.
You can't tell me nothing. I've been married 36 years to the same man, and I can't tell you all the crap we went through even before we ever got saved, and not counting afterwards. So no, when I see him, I don't feel all ooey and gooey. No, I don't want to kiss him first thing in the morning. Why? My breath stinks, yours does too. It's the same way with the church.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
It's exciting when I get to go visit somewhere sometimes. They don't know me and I don't know them. So they go to these churches, that's how they do, that's their MO. They go to the churches. They've even come here and told me before. Give me a job to do to help me be faithful. If I've heard that once, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. So, most time, we will. Because we got jobs below where there ain't enough people to fill all the jobs right now. So we will. You know what happens?
They leave.
They stop showing up. They don't call. They stop showing up. Don't know what's going on. They can be dead for us all I know. And I'm not going to call you the first time or two because I'm trying to give you a little time for you and Jesus to get it all worked out without my interference.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. Well, they quit showing up. Well, then lo and behold, a little time goes by. You call, your pastor calls them or somebody calls them, checks on them or whatever. Oh, I'm over here at so-and-so's church. And I'm like, what? First I've heard about it. When did Jesus change his mind?
Yep.
See, that's how, the very reason why I asked Shannon here a while back. Shannon, tell us how you quit a job. See, we'll do this stuff in the world, but for some reason, a lot of us have a mentality when it comes to working for the Lord, we're volunteering, so it don't matter. Honey, you better be more excellent what you do for Jesus than what you do for the world. Because the world can reward you now, and that's all. Jesus can reward us here and now and there.
Amen.
And he says we don't leave anything for mother, sister, brothers, houses, anything for his sake in the gospel that we don't receive 100-fold in this life and eternal life to come.
Amen.
Even we read the scriptures, or I actually didn't get to the scriptures last week, how it talks about when you're on a job and your boss is not a Christian. He's a devil. Maybe Christian, he put you there under that devil to beat you down. Oh, y'all not saying nothing, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
To beat you down. Because see, leaders are built. They're not born. Leaders are not. How do you make a pearl? It's a grain of sand that gets inside a clam that irritates that clam. And the irritation of that clam, he lets off a certain thing. And over a period of time of irritation,
it becomes a pearl.
You know, the Bible talks about us in the fire. It talks about our faith in the fire. It'll be tried so that it can come forth as pure gold. See, every hardship in my life is not the devil. Sometimes it's God. And sometimes he's wanting more fruit out of me, more maturity out of me. Why? I have a job to do. He needs me. He needs you. Right? We need each other.
Yeah. Come on.
So you got these people out here, they just float from church to church to church like Jesus is not Lord and he don't have a plan. You know what? They never become leaders. Ever.
Right.
Why? You can't lead somebody. You can't. Nobody can follow you if you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
It can't happen. Leaders have followers. But they are faithful followers before they're ever built into becoming leaders.
Right.
See, we got young kids in here. We got a whole other generation in them the right way. Why? Because they're going to be our next leaders. And if we don't do our job right, what happens? Just like this. There has been people, y'all can see it on TV and other ministries right now, but they're children. So God has called some of their children into the ministry. And they're preparing them now for their departure. That when they die, go be with the Lord, whatever you want to call it, they are have raised up, have been built to this place. Usually need to put them in, start cleaning the bathroom or keeping the nursery. Why? Because you got to be built with hardship. The Bible says, in your hardness is what?
Good
a good soldier. What's a soldier do? Whatever he's told. Are you in bad trouble? But see, another good thing about being a soldier is, in the army of the Lord, you don't provide the boots. You don't provide the tanks. You don't provide the ammo. You don't provide the guns. You don't even provide the underwear you wear.
That's right.
The army does. And in the kingdom of God, whatever we need to do His plan in my own personal life and in the body of Christ, the provision is already there.
Thank you.
It's called grace. But you never access grace without using faith.
Amen.
That's why you got to hear the word so you know what's available to you, what's been done for you. So faith can come and you can lay hold of it and bring it from that realm to this realm. See, everything that we have needed in this church thus far, I would have, if I'd have been God or He would have let me have my way, I would have bulldozed this sucker to the ground and just started over. I can't tell you what a headache this building has been and still is at times. See, some of y'all think we don't know. I can tell you there's a hole in the floor right back there. You can see the outside if you'll get down there on the floor and put your eyeball up through that. You can see it right through that block right there. Did y'all know that?
Yeah.
She does because she cleans back there. She does this part in here. I know that's there. I know the cracks that are here. I've seen the things before y'all ever even got here. Every single one of you other than Scotty.
Right.
But guess what we have to do? Which ones is the most important cracks? I ain't got time to work on them all at one time. I don't have enough finances all at one time to do them all. So what do? You learn, you hear, you seek the Lord, you grow, you do as He says and as He provides. And sure enough, here we are. Got another building down there now. So now there's another headache to take care of. This is like I got to take care of my house, this house, and that one down there. Y'all not saying nothing.
Amen.
I can tell ain't none of y'all got no beach house y'all go to, do you? That you got to keep on all year round, and you only use it for a few months out of the year.
Right.
What is my point to all that? Do you understand just the hardship of taking care of this building? Is a beat down.
Come on.
Johnny, I don't want it. It don't feel good. So you don't grow in the easy times. That's when you feel good.
Right.
That's when you just read your Bible, unless you're laying on the couch eating donuts. You better not be doing that. In the good times, on the mountaintops, you better be getting ready because valleys are coming.
Yeah.
But just like God told Scotty years and years ago, and we know it from Scripture, that's where you see God. And that's where you develop and mature the fruit of God that's on the inside of you. See, calling me to do Sunday school didn't make me faithful. According to Galatians 5, I have faithfulness already in me if I've been born again. The Holy Spirit produces that fruit.
Right.
But I got to yield.
Come on.
And as I yield, when I don't feel like coming to church, I don't want... Listen, I have not done the things that I should. I've not studied like I should before. And get up here and I'm telling you it's one of the hardest things you'll ever do.
Yeah.
My... It's not me talking. It's my voice you hear, but things either come to me or they don't. So over 20 years, I've had some times of that. You know what happened? The hardship I had up here, that don't happen no more. I do the things I need to do. Why? The responsibility of my office and my job helps that faithfulness to grow when I yield to it. But if I don't yield to that faithfulness and keep my responsibilities, my little faithfulness stays about that big. And I can be in the ministry for 60 years. And want to be called a leader. You ain't leading nothing. I got to stop because our time is up. Woo! Hallelujah.
Good stuff.